remain standing if you will. If you've got your Bible, turn to Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24. Amen. Appreciate that song as well. Amen. Another good song about our living Savior. Amen. Amen. And I realize that we don't just celebrate that on this day of the year. Matter of fact, when you come to church on the first day of the week, you're celebrating the fact your Savior got up on the first day of the week. That's why we meet on the first day of the week. Until then, there's meeting on the last day of the week. Because God created everything in 7 days. On the seventh day, He rested. Made that a Sabbath. Amen. And under the Jewish law, they recognized that. But in the New Testament, the saints started celebrating the first day of the week because the Savior got up. Amen. And that's what we rejoice in. And that's why we're here today. Amen. I'll say more about that as we go along, but that's why we're here today. And we want to rejoice in a living Savior. Amen. Amen. All right, Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 33. I'll just read a couple of verses. Well, no, I'll tell you what. Let's go back. Let's start at verse 1. I'll read several verses. I don't want to leave a lot of this out. I'm going to deal with two verses in particular, but I believe we ought to read it. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Amen. He had already gotten up, gotten out. Amen. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. He's right about that. There's trust and right. It was he that was going to redeem Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since those things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came again, and they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels that said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Look at verse 33 now. This is where I want to really get my text. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. I want to preach this morning on that phrase, The Lord is risen indeed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Steve Benson, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, for being in your house this day.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you for that prayer. Keep your Bible open. We're going to be using our Bible this morning, looking at some different verses and some different things. But this text I read, I know it's familiar. Pretty much we, as I guess is common among most people, we read what we call the Easter story, the resurrection story. We read it each year around this time. You probably read it in your daily Bible reading when you read through your Bible each year. You read through that, and it's become very familiar to us. Just like at Christmas, we read the Christmas story, and it has become very familiar to us about those things. But if we're not careful, because of familiarity, we'll fail to notice the importance of these things that are written. And I want to notice some of that this morning and preach on the thought, as I said, the Lord is risen indeed. Almost around our world today, people are celebrating what has come to be known as Easter Sunday. So I want to, that's on our mind, what we're thinking about. I want to think about that and reality of what we are to remember this day for. First of all, I want to mention that I don't particularly like to call it Easter. I call it Resurrection Sunday because Easter is actually a pagan holiday. It's not a Christian holiday. It's a pagan holiday, and matter of fact, it doesn't have anything to do with Christ. It doesn't have anything to do with his resurrection from the grave. Easter is actually a celebration of the goddess Ishtar. That's from the Sumerian, Assyrian, and Babylonian idolatry worship, idol worship. And she was known as the goddess of love, war, and fertility. And that then, by the way, translated to the Romans worshiped one by the name of Venus. The Greeks worshiped her as Aphrodite. And again, they promoted that idea of the fertility. It's a very immoral celebration, but they celebrated it in springtime. Of course, that makes sense because the earth is reawakening and we see the fertility of the ground that seems to be coming back to life. That's why we have the symbol of the eggs. That's why we have the symbol of the bunny rabbits. They're a symbol of the fertility and the life that is represented there. And so, matter of fact, the word Easter is found in your King James Bible one time. If you want to turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 12, we'll look at that. I'll mention just a few things about that just by way of introduction, then I'll get to my message. Acts chapter number 12, this pagan holiday of Easter is actually what Herod was waiting for, that he might execute his plan to murder the apostle Peter. In Acts chapter number 12, verse number 1, excuse me, read down through verse 4. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. In parentheses, these were the days of unleavened bread. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, let me also, that's the only time the word Easter is found in your King James Bible. Now, if you've got another translation, you may not find that word, because most of the other false translations translate that word Passover. Easter and Passover are not the same, although they occur at much the same time. Matter of fact, Passover in Israel, today is the final day of Passover. They celebrate it for 8 days from Sunday to Sunday this year. And this is the final day of Passover in Israel or among the Jewish community. This is the day the heathen celebrate Easter. And this is the day we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. Amen. But I'm saying, I know that this is not talking about, when it says Easter, it's not talking about the Passover, because verse 3 tells us that the Passover was already in progress. You see that? These were the days of unleavened bread. That's talking about the Passover. That's when they'd have those days, those 8 days that they'd not have any leaven in the house of God. And so it looks like that during that time of those 8 days of celebration of the Passover, that Herod apprehended Peter. And he put him in prison. But he was waiting for Easter to get passed. By the way, the Jews wasn't celebrating Easter, but the heathen Herod was. Yeah. And so he was going to wait till the, and that the Romans were. That was his idea of the Roman law and the Roman rule. And so they would have been observing that. So this wicked Herod was waiting for these holidays to get passed that he might bring forth Peter and execute Peter. Amen. So again, I'll say, just like in Judaism, Passover has been this week. Easter falls on this week. And then the resurrection falls on this week, the day we celebrate the resurrection. We really don't know exactly the day, although we do know that Christ died in Passover. He is our Passover lamb. Amen. And that he got up from the grave on the first day of the week. And so we recognize that. But today, the world around, they're celebrating, and they call it Easter, and they say that's a Christian holiday, but they're celebrating with eggs and bunny rabbits. I've told you before, I love boiled eggs, and I like fried rabbit. I particularly like chocolate rabbits. But that's not celebrating the resurrection of the Savior. I'm not fussing at you if you have those things. I'm not fussing at you at all, other than saying don't confuse it and say, well, that's how we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. No, that's how they celebrate fertility. Amen. We're here to celebrate the fact that our Savior got up from the grave. Amen. We're not hiding Easter eggs. We're not here to show off colored baskets. Amen. Even though they might be full of those wonderful chocolate Easter bunnies. Amen. We're not here to do all those things maybe that the world's doing, but we are here to rejoice in the fact that our Savior is not dead. Amen. We're serving a living Savior. You've heard it said before, Muhammad lived and died, and many people worshiped him, but he's still in the grave. Buddha lived and died, and some worship him, but he's still in the grave. And you can name man after man, or person after person, that maybe they worship, but they lived and died, and they're still in the grave. But thank God our Savior got up from the grave. Amen. And we celebrate, and we serve a living Savior. Amen. We're here today because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We're here today because that son bled and died on Calvary for our sin, paid the sin debt that we could never pay. Amen. And we're here today because he got up from the grave. Amen. Like he promised that he would do. So with that clarification out of the way, I want to proceed to the subject at hand and preach on this thought. Our Lord is risen indeed. Amen. The Lord is risen indeed. Interesting to me, and when we did the study of the four Gospels, the harmony of the four Gospels, I pointed out to you that the birth of our Lord Jesus is only actually mentioned in two of the Gospels. Matthew and Luke detail the birth of our Lord. Mark just picks up with his service, John goes all the way back to he was in the beginning, before there was a beginning. He was with God. And so, we, as important as the birth of our Lord is, only two of the Gospels record that. But all four of the Gospels detail the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the way, that's why we call them the Gospels. That's what the Gospel is. Amen. The Gospel is the story, the account of the death, according to the Scriptures, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to the Scriptures. Amen. He did what He promised that He would do. Amen. And so we're here looking at these details about the resurrection day of our Lord. I would encourage you, not now, not during this service, but I'd encourage you sometime in the near future, perhaps today, if you have time, to read all four accounts, and you'll get a clearer picture. None of the four give all the details, but when you put them together, you can see the details as they come together. It's a wonderful story. I really enjoyed doing that and seeing how they come together and the details are told. Amen. But now, I want to talk about the multitude of witnesses. That's my idea. The Lord is risen indeed. The Bible gives us a multitude of witnesses that our Lord got up from the grave. Now, God said in the Old Testament, when they're talking about how to set up their judicial system, God said, you don't just take one person's word for it. God said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Amen. He said, you need two or three witnesses to let every word be established. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, He says, don't receive an accusation against an elder just because you heard it to be so. Don't just receive that. You need some eyewitnesses is what He's talking about. And so the idea here, my point that I'm getting to, our God said there needs to be at least two or three. He's give us a multitude of witnesses all across the spectrum of folks that saw our Lord get up, folks that tell us that our Lord got up from the grave. And first of all, right here in our text today, we see these women that came to anoint the body of our Lord. I started in verse number 1 of chapter 24, but go back a couple of verses in chapter number 23. Look with me there just a moment. Chapter 23, verses 55 and 56. And then we'll look at the first three verses of chapter 24. The Bible says, and the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. That's the day he died. That's the day of his burial. They went, they followed along to see. Peter didn't go there. James and John, they was all scattered. But thank God for some good godly women that followed. Amen. Verse 56, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. That was that high holy day that they rested on. And then in verse number 1 of chapter 24, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, talking about other people came with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so these women came to anoint the body and they said, there's no body there. Amen. There's nobody in the grave. Thank God. Look at verses 4 through 7. We'll see them, the angels, these heavenly messengers. We know them as angels. Here it just says two men. Verse number 4. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hand, or into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Amen. So you got these women, first of all, that tell us Christ was not in the grave when they got there. They know it was the right grave. They saw him laid in there. Amen. I've never seen anybody. I've never watched them lay somebody in the grave and then see that person get out of it. Never have. One day they will. One day they're coming out of there. Since Jesus did. Amen. But this was a, and I like this thought. I don't have time to chase this rabbit very long. You don't have time for me to chase this rabbit very long. But, I like the fact that they put guards there. Like here's somebody that died. We got to be real careful or something. He's going to get up if we don't do everything we can to make sure he don't get up. Well, they did everything they could to make sure he didn't get up, and he still got up. Amen. That's exactly right. He still got up. And so we got these women that came. They said, we know this is where he was buried, but there's nobody there. They saw apparently the stone that had been rolled up there. And matter of fact, the other gospel says that as they were going, they're saying, they're asking a question among themselves, how are we going to roll that stone away? But they get there and the stone had been rolled away. Amen. I believe it's Matthew's gospel said that there was an earthquake and a mighty angel, the Bible said, came down. Amen. And rolled the stone away and sat upon it. But then we got here in these verses, not just the women saying that, but we've got these two men in white apparel, these angels. And I know they're angels. As a matter of fact, because later on when these men from Emmaus are telling our Lord, they said that these women told us that they saw a vision of angels. They said he's not here. Amen. The other gospels call them angels as well. So you got the women, you've got the angels saying he's not here. And then you've got these women telling the disciples, and they're telling Peter right here in our text. Again, look at verse number nine and down through verse 12. And returned, these women returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales and they believed them not. It was too good to be believed. Too good to be true. But it was true. Amen. They didn't believe them. Verse number 12, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Amen. So you've got the women that go and they say there's no body in the grave. You got the angels that come and they say he's not here. He's risen like he said. Amen. Then these women run to the apostles and Peter and they tell them he has risen from the grave. Peter runs down there and looks in himself. And the Gospel of John tells us that John was with him. And matter of fact, the Gospel of John says right there is where John believed. He saw those things and believed. Amen. Then I think about these two that are on the road to Emmaus. They walk in this road. They're disappointed. They're discouraged. They're disheartened. Their whole life has been turned upside down. This is he we thought was going to deliver Israel. Redeem Israel. Now their idea was, they wasn't thinking about he's going to redeem them from sin. I'm glad Brother Steve in Sunday school this morning dealing with that. Sin is the issue. A whole lot of people think redemption doesn't have anything to do with sin. Oh, it has everything to do with sin. And they wasn't looking at Jesus redeeming them from sin. They thought he was going to redeem them from Roman oppression. He was going to be their king and they was going to rule the world, that Israel was going to be redeemed that way. Well, they had the redemption idea wrong, but Christ was coming to redeem them from their sins. Amen. That one day later down the road, thank God we can reign with him. Amen. Once we've been washed from our sins. Amen. But so here's these two disciples that are walking, and as they go, they're talking about what's going on, and a third man comes up and joins them who they recognize not. But the Bible tells us it was the Lord that their eyes were holding. Verse 31 says, look at verse 31, and their eyes were holding and they knew him, verse 31, and their eyes were opened. They were holding earlier. They're opened here. And they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Here's what they did. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them saying, here's what they were saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Amen. Now here's what I'm looking at. This is the premise of my thought, and I'll run through my message fairly quickly. My thought on this is this testimony that our Lord has risen. These women come and they're saying the Lord's not in the grave. These angels come, they're saying, no, he's risen from the grave. Then these women go to the apostles, they say he's risen from the grave. These two disciples on the road to Emmaus,
They say to one another, he has risen from the grave. And they go back to the apostles and they tell them, he is risen from the grave. Here's my point. We came here this morning because we can boldly say our Lord is risen indeed. It's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a nice story. Amen. It's not the way we wish it had turned out. Amen. It is a true story. Amen. It is a true story. It is an accurate account that our Lord is risen indeed. Amen. And so I want to use that thought as my springboard and preach for a few moments on that thought. The Lord is risen indeed. I want to say it boldly. I want to say it unreservedly. I want to say it dogmatically. Our Lord died and was buried, but he got up and rose from the grave. Amen. He's alive forevermore. That's what he said. Amen. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. That's what he said in Revelation chapter 3. Amen. Amen. So he rose from the dead. And by the way, this is a doctrine that almost transcends belief. It almost transcends belief. As a matter of fact, when you look at the text that I read, almost everybody that heard it didn't believe it. When they heard the message, they didn't believe it. By the way, today, most of the people that hear that don't believe it. Amen. They don't accept that. And you say, how important is it that we do believe it? All of our salvation hinges. Amen. Our salvation hinges on the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Allow me, if you will, to point out some witnesses that God has given us about this wonderful resurrection. I want to point out two distinct points. And to be honest with you, I'm not even going to try to get to the second one today. I'll just deal with the first point. But I want to say this. God has displayed the fact of our Lord's resurrection in two manners. Prophesied or predicted, primarily in the Old Testament. Historical and performed in the New Testament. God showed it to us, predicted it, and then he showed it to us as it was performed or as it was portrayed even there in the New Testament. So I want to think about the Old Testament scriptures and deal with some of that fact about how the resurrection was prophesied and pictured in the Old Testament. The resurrection was prophesied and pictured, amen, in the Old Testament. The theme of resurrection runs throughout the Old Testament. Turn, if you will, in the book of Isaiah, that large prophet, major prophet, Isaiah. He's got the largest book of prophecy in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter number 44. He more clearly shows us Christ than any other Old Testament prophet, as he points, when I say more clearly, he gives us more prophecies concerning the birth of our Savior, the coming of the Messiah. He also tells us about the death of our Savior. Of course, you know, the coming, he talks about a virgin shall conceive in Isaiah chapter number 7. He talks about his death in Isaiah chapter number 53. Other chapters as well and verses deal with these things as well. But in Isaiah 44, I believe he shows us a picture of the resurrection. I want you to look at that in Isaiah chapter number 44 and verse number 23. The Bible says, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Bring forth or break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. You remember them fellas said when they was walking, we trusted this is he that was going to redeem Israel. God said, you ought to clap your hands, you ought to sing, you ought to shout, because he has redeemed Jacob. Amen. Verse number 24, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, and stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backwards, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. Thus, or that saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and the temple, thy foundation, shall be laid. Here's what Isaiah's prophesying about. He said, Israel is my servant, and Israel is going to be desolate. In a sense, Israel's going to die. Israel's going to be left desolate. The temple's going to be destroyed, but it's not going to stay that way. Israel's going to be revived. The temple's going to be restored. Amen. The temple will be rebuilt. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about a death and a burial and a resurrection. Amen. Israel was going to be scattered and hauled off to the, by the Assyrians and then by the Babylonians. And, but God was going to bring them back after those 70 years that Jeremiah talks about in that. And so I recognize that the word resurrection does not appear in the text that I read to you, but it is obviously represented. I want you to think about this. What is it that the heavens were told to sing about? Huh. What is it that the lower parts of the earth were told to shout about? What is it that the mountains and the forests and the trees were to clap their hands and rejoice about? They were rejoicing in the fact that our Savior got up from the grave. Amen. I do love spring of the year. It is beautiful to see the flowers blooming. Amen. Where the snow is laid, where the ice is falling, where the, all that deadness has been, but now the leaves start blooming back. Amen. And the flowers start blooming back and things start greening up. Can I tell you, Ishtar had nothing to do with that. Venus had nothing to do with that. But our God in heaven had everything in the world to do with that. Amen. And he's showing us a picture, a very fine picture of death and even of burial, but of the resurrection, thank God. Amen. Amen. And that's what he's talking about here. They're to sing about, they're to shout about the Lord, thy Redeemer, he said. What's he done? He's frustrated the tokens of the liars. Amen. He said, if he be Christ, let him come down. Well, he didn't have to come down. He could lay down his life and he could take it up again. Amen. Because he was the Christ, the Son of God. Amen. He took the wise men, turned their world backwards. Amen. He had confirmed the word of his servants. That's what he's talking about here in Isaiah 44. He's talking about confirming the word of his servants. All those prophecies, Jesus was going to fulfill every jot and tittle of every prophecy that had ever been made. Amen. Remember, the book of Revelation says that the spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. All those prophecies, as a matter of fact, in those men on the way to Emmaus, those two disciples, I'm not sure they were both men. I don't know. It doesn't actually say. I've heard people think it's Cleopas and his wife. I don't know. I do know that his wife was involved in some of that around the cross and around the resurrection. But the Cleopas and whoever the other one was, unnamed, they're talking about the fact that there's all these prophecies, and when Jesus came, he started at Moses, that would be Genesis, and he went all the way through all the prophets and said, this is all talking about me. Amen. And showed them that he was fulfilling all those prophecies. God had promised to raise up the decayed places in Jerusalem, there in verse number 26. In short, Israel and Jerusalem were promised a resurrection. Amen. God was prophesying that the dead would rise again. Now, I want you to think about this just a moment. I don't apologize for time, but I want you to understand where we're at. We're living in a day when even religion is pretty shallow, to be honest with you. And it do you good to dig in your Bible and find out that this thing about salvation is definitely not shallow. Amen. This gospel story, although we've heard it all of our life, although we've celebrated year after year after year, it's not something shallow. It's very depth, in depth. Amen. Amen. This idea here of Israel in Isaiah 44, God's representing Israel as a nation, not as a multitude of people, but really as one man. One man. He's representing them as his servant. And we can understand that because when Christ went to Calvary, God was representing all the sinners of the world in that one man. Amen. Christ came to die for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. God was looking at all the sinners of the world, representing them in that one man, the man Christ Jesus. And he also talks about that one man being his faithful servant. He calls Israel his servant. He calls Christ his servant. Amen. And so he, and by the way, that's what prophecy does very often. It does that. And he's showing us that all those disobedient, all those rebellious servants are recognized and represented in this one man who was a faithful servant. Praise God. Amen. But just like Brother Steve said in Sunday school this morning, I may fail, you may fail, we don't have to, but we're liable to. Amen? Amen? We're still in a body of flesh, we still have the ability to sin, we still have the possibility to sin. Amen? But when we fail, I'm glad God don't look at me as me. When he sees me, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees me not as a fallen servant, but he sees me as his faithful servant. Amen? Because I'm under the umbrella of the Lord Jesus Christ. That does not mean I can sin with impunity, by the way. God chastens every child that's his. Amen. Some people may let their children disobey and get away with it, but God don't. Amen. Matter of fact, he says it over and over, he chastens every son. Amen. Every, and so if you don't have chastisement, he said, you're not one of his. Just real simple. But I'm saying, I'm in this idea about God said and showed it even there in Isaiah that God was representing all the nation in one man, and God was going to show them a death, a burial, and a resurrection of one man that would apply to whosoever will. Amen. Amen. Now, we're gathered here today. We're in God's house on Resurrection Sunday. Why are we here? We're here to lift up our hands. We're here to lift up our voice. We're here to rejoice in the Lord because we serve a living Savior. Amen. We recognize that we've been represented in that one man, and our Lord is risen indeed. Amen. Now that's just one of the pictures in the Old Testament. I've got a number that I could talk about. Let me just mention some of them. I won't deal with them. And I could point about the statement that God made in the Garden of Eden. You remember that? Way back when man first fell. And by the way, God didn't let Adam waller in sin year after year after year after year. Looks like that very day God dealt with Adam. Amen. Before the day was out. In the cool of the day, God, the voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden. But when Adam came to God, God said, Adam, where art thou? Adam came to God. Even though he made his excuse, Eve made her excuse, God made a promise to him. Actually, he was talking to the serpent, and he said to the serpent, because you've done this, there's going to be enmity between the woman and thy seed and her seed. But he said, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. Now, what that's talking about, the seed of the woman, not the seed of the man. This was the virgin-born Son of God, amen, that Satan was going to have access to hurt him, amen. But that in that, Christ was going to crush Satan and his power. Amen. What's he talking about? He's talking about the death of our Lord on the cross. Amen. He's talking about the burial of our Lord in the grave. Amen. The ascension of our Lord into the heart of the earth. But he's talking about the rising again on the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Thank God. Amen. So, he's talking about the fact Christ wouldn't stay dead, but he would fatally wound the head of Satan. Amen. And then thirdly, I could talk about Isaac there in Genesis 22. I love that, by the way. I could preach on that all day long. I love it. Genesis 22, God told Abraham, you remember Abraham had Ishmael that wasn't really in God's plan? God never counted him. Wasn't that God hated Ishmael. It was that was not the plan of God. God said, I'm going to give you and Sarah a child. They tried to go around their roundabout way. But when Isaac came along, there was somewhere in his life, and we're not told exactly his age, but most people speculate that he was around 33 years old, and that would fit with the time when our Lord went to Calvary. But that God said to Abraham, and in one place he said God tested him, God tempted him. God said to Abraham, do you love me more than you do your son. Abraham said, you know I love you. And God said that I want you to offer your son. And this is what he said, thine only son. Thine only son. Now he had another son and he would have others later. But God said, this is the one, this is the promised one. I want you to offer him. And you remember the story as they were heading up the mountain. And Isaac said to the father, he said, by the way, Abraham took that load of lumber, that the wood, off of the back of the donkey. Left his two servants at the bottom of the hill. Put that load on his son. That's exactly what God did to Christ going up Calvary. He put the load on him. Amen. And here he's going up that mountain. He says to the father, Abraham's got the knife in one hand, the fire in another hand. He said, behold the fire and the knife, but where is the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Amen. I don't know what Abraham knew, but he knew something. Amen. He had some good ideas. But here, there's a picture in that of the death. Isaac's going up there. As far as Abraham's concerned, he's dead. It took them 3 days to get to find that mountain that God said, I'll show you. So there's 3 days in the heart of Abraham that Isaac's a dead man. But when they're at the bottom of the mountain, as he's taking that wood off of the donkeys and he's putting it on his son's back, he says to those two servants, you stay here with the beasts. And he said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and we'll come again. Amen. You know what Abraham's saying in the picture there? I know my son's dead. I know he's been dead now for 3 days. But me and him are going to worship God and God's going to provide a lamb. And me and him are coming back down this mountain. God's going to keep his promise. Amen. And there's a picture of the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Abraham rejoiced to see our Lord's day. Jesus said that. Amen. And he saw it. And on we could go. You could point to Joseph being lied on by his brothers, being hated by his brothers, being sold by his brothers for, I believe it's 30 pieces of silver. I know he is sold and sold into slavery. He goes down into Egypt, gets lied on by a woman, gets locked up in prison for a crime he didn't do, and he gets forgotten in the prison house. That's like death. But God raised him up. God raised him up out of that prison house. God exalted him to the throne, made him right hand to the king. Amen. Amen. Gave him provisions that he could provide for his family and for all those that would come to him. Amen. And I'm glad that's another picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. On and on and on we could go. I'm headed somewhere, just stay with me. We could point a lot of other veiled symbols, like Samson. Samson, he's not a real good picture of Christ, but you can see it in there. Matter of fact, Spurgeon did a sermon on, I've heard other men preach sermons on Samson when he carried those gates away. He'd been locked up, imprisoned in Gaza in the night. He took those gates and carried them up to Hebron. Amen. And that's a picture of the resurrection of our Lord. Though he had been imprisoned, yet he was released by his own power, by the way, the power of God. David, we could talk about David. He's a symbol of Christ, a very good symbol of Christ in a lot of ways. But the fact that he'd been anointed king, but he had to hide in caves. He had to flee, had to suffer for a period of time before he could finally be exalted to the throne. And on and on and on we could go. We could talk about Aaron's rod that budded in Numbers 17. Aaron's rod that budded, a dead stick that shows us the resurrection of Christ. Allow me to mention one more that I believe is very symbolic in the book of Leviticus. If you'll turn back there, Leviticus, that's not a book we use a lot. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter number 23. Just a couple of verses. The Levitical ceremony of the waving of the sheaf of the first fruits. Leviticus 23, verse number 10. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye become into the land which I give unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted of you. Now when they're going to do that, look at the end of verse 11. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Amen. Amen. So he said, you're reaping the harvest. You got all this wonderful fruit coming in. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want to take this sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest. And he said, I want you to wave it before God. That is a praise offering. That is a thank offering being waved unto God. Amen. But he said, here's what I want you to do it. I want you to do it on a specific time. I don't want you to do it on Saturday. I want you to do it on Sunday. I want you to go on the first day of the week. Amen. After the day, after the Sabbath day, I want you to go and wave this first fruit as an offering to God. Amen. You remember that the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse 20, Paul said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Amen. I alluded to that earlier as we was opening up the service. Paul said Christ is the first fruits. He's waved to God. That's what we're in here today. We're to lift up Jesus. We're to brag about Jesus. Amen. We're to rejoice in Jesus. Amen. That he got up from the grave, and since he did, more can also. Amen. Amen. And we rejoice in that fact this particular Sunday morning. Amen. Let's clap our hands. Let's jump up and shout. Amen. Amen. Let's rejoice in a risen Savior. It's in order. It's in order. Amen. Amen. Then there's another one even mentioned in the New Testament. And this is from another Old Testament story that is referred to in the New Testament, representing the fact of the resurrection of our Lord. Look in Matthew chapter number 20, chapter number 12. Matthew chapter 12. This is my last point before my conclusion. All right. Matthew chapter 12. Verse number 40. Jesus is speaking. We know the story of Jonah, right? Jonah was the disobedient prophet that got swallowed by the whale. I was thinking about this the other day. I've heard all kinds of fish stories. I ain't never heard one like this. People start talking about, boy, you ought to see that fish I caught. Well, I'll tell you one bigger than that. That's the one I almost caught. Jonah could say, you ought to seen the size of that one that caught me. We know the story of Jonah, but it's not just a fancy story. I know what the scholars say and the skeptics, they say, well, now that stuff in the Old Testament, that wasn't literal. Jesus believed it was literal. I think I'll just follow him instead of these God denying, amen, skeptics. All right, verse number 40, Jesus said this. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Amen. You know what he's saying? Hey, he said, that wasn't a fanatical story. That wasn't too hard to be believed. I'm going to show you something hard to be believed. I'm not just going to be in a whale's belly. I'm going to be in the heart of the earth. He is going to be a dead man for 3 days and three nights. But he said, but never fear, I'm getting out of the grave. Amen. Getting out of the grave. Because God made a promise of resurrection. Amen. Turn to Romans chapter number 10, and this is my conclusion. I said to you, and this is part of the Romans road, Romans chapter 10, that people deal with and pointing people to Christ. And I'd love to go on to my second point, talk about the New Testament, but I don't have the time, you don't have the patience. I know you're smelling that food back there and thinking about that food. Amen. Brother Philip opened up this morning, and he said, as he's opening up Sunday school, he said, good eat, and he said, a morning. He starts to say good evening. I told him I thought he was going to say good eating. Amen. That's what we're here for. He had eating on his mind. No. And don't have that right now at the moment. But we're going to look at this conclusion. In Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9, I said that how important is it to believe the resurrection? Here's what he said in verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, what? That Jesus died? No, just the death wouldn't have been enough. Everybody said, oh, I believe Jesus died for sinners. Yeah, but you got to believe something more than that. He says that if thou, let me get to it again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You can't pick and choose, say, well, I'll take part of the gospel, but I don't want it all. I'll take Jesus here, but I'm not going to take him there. I'll take a portion For example, I'll take him as Savior. I'm not interested in Lordship. Forget it. He is the Lord and Savior. You don't get to pick and choose. Amen. When you come to Christ, you must believe not only that he was a good man. The whole world says he is a good man. Amen. But he said that he was more than a good man. When Nicodemus came to Christ, he said, we know thou art a teacher come from God. He called him good master. We know thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these things except God be with him. Jesus never dealt with that about him bragging on. But he said, you know what you need, Nicodemus? You need to be born again. You know why you need to be born again? Because you can't even see the kingdom of God. Amen. You can't even recognize it when it's standing in front of you unless you get born again. The whole world's got a concept of Jesus, but it's not necessarily the Jesus of the Bible. It's not a Savior that died and a Savior that was buried and a Savior that rose again. What I preach about today is not just data. It's not just information. It's doctrine that is necessary. It's important. Amen. And just like these women went and told it, just like these men went and told it, just like these angels came and told it, just like these prophets prophesied about it, just like all these pictures showed it, we need to be sharing that throughout our world, in our family, around those we love, around those we work. We need to be showing that fact that our Lord died and rose again on the third day. Amen. Today's not about sports. Today's about a Savior. Today's not about family. Today's about a Savior. Today's not just about dressing up and eating good. Today's about a Savior. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. We have an invitation time. If the Lord spoke to you and you need to do business with Him, you obey Him. If you need to come, I want to give you an opportunity to do that, to come and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. As we look back in the Old Testament, and I just barely got to the New Testament again, the Lord has prophesied, it's pictured, it's portrayed in the Old Testament that there would be a resurrection. And Father, I'm glad you keep your Word. Every promise you ever made, you've kept. And it's kept in our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus came just like He said. I like what Brother Ronnie Sutton said. Lord Ronnie Sutton says, He came right on time. He was born right on time. He lived and performed His miracles right on time. He went to Calvary right on time. He was buried right on time. And He got up from the grave right on time. Father, I rejoice in the fact that You're coming again and You'll be right on time. Father, I pray for those that are among us perhaps that are not ready. They'd get ready this morning. They put their trust, not just in some fairy tale or some good story, they put their trust in the fact that a man represented the whole world when he went to Calvary. And he rose again for our justification. We could be saved by believing on him. Lord, I pray they would come. I pray, Lord, for faith and repentance to work in their heart that they might trust Christ. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. As we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. Some are praying, maybe others need to.